Bob Thornburg, welcome to the St. Joe Prep Radio Show. How are you?
Wonderful.
Bob, where are you living now these days?
I'm living in Lake Forest, Illinois, which is a suburb about 30 miles north of Chicago.
You and I and about 63 or so other, and we were kids then, I guess, and young men, graduated from St. Joe Prep in 1960. Wow.
Long time.
Yes, but, you know, in speaking with you all and remembering things like with Brother Giles and some of the other classmates, you know, it all comes back very rapidly.
It does.
What do you remember most about the... How did you end up at St. Joe?
A long story. I was an avid reader in grade school, Book of the Month Club, go to the library, American Heritage, that sort of a thing. But I really wasn't a very good student. And in the spring of 1956, I took an entrance exam to go to St. Xavier High School in Cincinnati, a Jesuit school that my brother attended.
Yeah, you lived in Cincinnati, didn't you?
Yes, I grew up there. And did not do well on the test, and that was kind of the catalyst between this disconnect of being a good reader and academic performance. So the local superintendent of schools, Dr. Bush, was a friend of my parents and suggested boarding school might be the answer. And my mother and aunt had some experience going to boarding schools. And the prep was, I think, pretty well known in the academic world around Cincinnati, and there had always been kids from Cincinnati going to St. Joe, a couple of friends of our family, as it turned out. So that's kind of how we ended up with St. Joe, and that was the reason, and it worked out pretty well.
Were any other students from Cincinnati at St. Joe?
Yeah, there were probably always at least a half a dozen or so that were there from various parts of the city. I lived in a suburb called Wyoming, and we had one or two kids there, and then from all around the town.
Was Pat Coleman from up there?
He was from Florence, Kentucky.
Florence, Kentucky.
Across the river.
Yes. What do you recall about St. Joe Prep?
I think that the most significant event about St. Joe Prep is the light went on for me academically, that the whole thing worked pretty well. Just from the first get-go when we took the placement test, and I was put in a section, and I found that I was reasonably well prepared from the grade school experience, even though it didn't show up on the report card. And then we were in a culture where it was cool for kids to get good grades, and people took pride in academic achievements. And then we had the right environment, at least for boarders. We had a study hall before dinner, study hall after dinner, where there was nothing to do but study.
So
you might as well do it. And all of a sudden, I was doing it, and it worked, and it was kind of fun, and you always had a brother there to ask a question, and it just kind of snowballed. So that made a difference, and I think that's probably what I remember the most, because, of course, that leads to developing good study habits, good work habits, and eased the transition to college when that came along.
You went to Northwestern after that, did you?
I did, yes. Went there on the NROTC scholarship, which a number of us in our class qualified for. And I think that was, I don't think I would have gone to Northwestern had I not had that opportunity through that scholarship.
Was it Spike Walker or Dave Walker who got a scholarship too?
Spike did as well, and he went to Auburn and studied engineering. And then Dennis Kasson was an alternate.
Really?
And yes, and went to Notre Dame. And I knew about it because people in classes ahead of us, Kenny Simpson, the year from the class of 59, went off to UCLA. And there was a kid my freshman year who went off to Harvard, whose name I don't recall. So we had a pretty good track record with the Navy.
Did you play any sports at St. Joe's?
I did. First couple of years, football and basketball, and then it was just football, and then I was the student manager for basketball and got to keep the score for the game. So that way I stayed out of intramural sports.
There you go, and I got to be the cheerleader.
I remember
our
that.
Senior
yes.
year. Who yes, were the? You, yes. I was looking. I'm looking at your comments on St. Joe here, and you talk about lots of characters.
Yeah, you look back on that, and we were all teenagers, and you think about where people came from and kind of what their persona was at that point in time. It's kind of hard to pinpoint it, but you know, just from the regional accents that people had and experiences. And the, you know, we had kids from the town. We had kids who lived on farms. We had kids who came from big cities and from small towns around the Midwest. So, you know, it was quite a conglomeration of people.
Do you recall Max Howard?
Very well, yes.
Did Max, you know, Max came to St. Joe from Pike County?
Yes.
And do you recall if he had an accent or had he managed that?
Well, it's interesting because Max was the first friend that I had at St. Joe. And
really?
We were both kind of dropped off by our parents on a hot day. And I guess it was September of 1956. And the brothers were kind of looking after us waifs and pulled us together, introduced us, and sent us off to the swimming pool. But, you know, I recall Max did not have an accent, although everybody else did, and you could tell where someone came from, you know, whether it was Louisville or Indianapolis or Cincinnati or Somerset by their accent.
Have you kept up with any of your classmates?
I have. Spike Walker was a next-door neighbor in Cincinnati when, at least his grandparents were next-door neighbors, so he'd be in to visit. We became friends from a very young age, long before the prep, and he and I have interacted and maintained correspondence and have seen each other over the time. And kind of reconnected with Max and our other classmates at our 25th reunion and organizing that, and then what's come from that over the years.
How did you spend your life after you graduated from Northwestern?
I had 5 years in the Navy, 2.5 years at sea on the East Coast. I did not go to Southeast Asia, although that was going on at that time.
Yes.
Reason being is that I was put on a newly commissioned ship in Bath, Maine, and we spent most of our time going on sea trials and cruising around the Caribbean. It was mm-hmm. an experimental type ship. And being in the Supply Corps, the other part of my tour was to be on shore duty, which is just the way it was done. And I went to Great Lakes and spent the last 2.5 years there. So I had an old 5-year commitment. And I was able to go to night school for business school while I was at Great Lakes.
You spent most of your life in the financial world, didn't you?
I have, yes.
What did you do?
I got an MBA at Northwestern, and the classes I did the best in were investments and finance, and worked for a while in manufacturing after I got out of the Navy and started in Cincinnati at Stearns & Foster Company. And it was pretty quick and apparent to me that that wasn't my calling, and I was able to join Scudder, Stevens & Clark, which at that time was a Boston, New York-based investment counsel firm, one of the pioneers, and one of the pioneers in the mutual fund industry and no-load mutual funds. So I started there as a trader and later as a portfolio manager and in Cincinnati. And then when the partner from Cincinnati was sent up to Chicago and asked to run the operation there, I followed about 6 months later. Spent the next 30-some years managing portfolios for high-net-worth individuals and institutions like endowment funds or retirement funds, and then later joined a smaller firm called Fiduciary Management Associates, where we did the same thing, but a little more hands-on, and we started a couple of mutual funds and was more involved in the management of the company as well in the later years.
We were talking with Max the other day, and Max is a motivational speaker, and mm-hmm. we were talking about that he is just urging his clients to find new ways of doing business because everything is changing and so
yeah.
on. How are we going to, this gets away a little bit from the prep, but I think it all ties in. How are we going to, as a country, move forward financially and investment-wise and so on?
That's a big open-ended question,
sure,
and things change, but things stay the same. There's always fear and greed operating in the markets on one level, and that will create opportunity. There are different ways for people to invest their capital, but the future is probably not going to be like the past, meaning that the growth of the world will come from different parts. Perhaps the 20th century was the century of the United States. Perhaps the 21st is for other countries, which we now call emerging markets or less developed. So There will be new technologies ever coming along, which you certainly can't ignore. Internet has made a huge impact on productivity. In my business, communications, cell phones, all these kinds of tools need to be used, and of course they provide opportunities as well.
What's going to be the role of this country then, or the roles?
I don't know. You may look to the model of Great Britain in the 20th century, where the empire was winding down. We've been the policemen of the world. We were the biggest power after the end of World War II. Where are we now? It shifted. The economic growth has shifted. The political power shifted. The bomb is available in more than one place. So that's a different landscape than 60 years ago.
Oh, it sure is. And let's talk about something that's easier to live with, which is perhaps our memories. Your memories of the brothers, what are they?
All pretty bright. All willing to minister justice instantaneously, as you may recall.
It's been evident with some of the ones we've spoken with.
And that was good. I mean, and that kept young adolescent men in line. But I think we're very fortunate to have such well-educated and such dedicated people there to teach us and to be patient with us and know how to handle us as well and motivate us. I think that they did a pretty good job.
And looking at
the alternatives, how many teachers would you find that had a master's degree or a PhD, as Brother Raymond and Brother DeSales did?
Yes.
Didn't happen often.
Not often. You married your college sweetheart?
Yeah, Colleen Kelly. She was at Northwestern, and we had known each other over the 4 years there, but kind of got together in the fall quarter of senior year and maintained romance after graduation for a couple of years, and the rest is history.
And you had some children, I gather?
We do, two sons, one who is living in London in the hedge fund world, and another who is married and living in New York is in the investment banking world.
Are you doing anything professionally now, or just playing golf?
I am not doing anything professionally other than maintaining my membership in the Chartered Financial Analyst Society, or the Society of Financial Analysts, where I participate and actually attend programs and just keep up my interest in the capital markets. And most recently was president of our local library board and get involved in Meals on Wheels when they need me.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of financial, I think it's Charlie Hayden and some of the other fellows that are putting together a program to raise funds for the retirement program for the
yes.
brothers,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing that initially by asking us. They've created a baseball cap that I believe has our colors were white and purple,
mm-hmm.
or purple and white, and has the J on the front, and on the back of it says undefeated since 1968, which was the year the school closed.
Yes,
which was not a happy time for I think anyone.
You know, there's a little anecdote about that, and I'm not sure if you've heard the story, and if there's some time, I will
go ahead.
Tell you. Brother DeSales came for a 45th reunion, and I asked him about that. You know, what happened? You know, we were all, you know, starting out in our lives at that point in time. We weren't paying attention as to what was going on. Well, he said that there was a lot of jealousy that grew up between St. X and St. Joe, that Brother DeSales was sent there in 56 to upgrade the academics of the place and was given carte blanche to bring in whatever teachers he wanted the best throughout the Xaverian system, and Brother Raymond being one of those, I guess, from a curriculum
mm-hmm.
standpoint. So we did have the best of what they had and was able to get that. But DeSales said that when he got into the mid-60s, the academic image of St. Joe and the accreditation view, or the view of the accreditation societies, held St. Joe in higher esteem, and they just didn't like the competition down in Louisville. It wasn't so much that the place was deteriorating or high cost or no longer relevant. That was his view, and he was still mad about it.
I would have been, too.
Some 40 years later, and I thought that was interesting.
Oh, I think we're all so very thankful to the brothers and to our classmates and to everything we did and learned at St. Joe Prep here in Bardstown.
Yeah, I think it was a special institution, and I'm not sure we all knew it at the time, but looking back on it, there's no question about that.
It was special. So we'll see you on the 25th?
I will look forward to it.
Great. Thank you so much, Bob Thornburg.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.